Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Does the cost and risk of conventional healthcare concern you? Wouldn't you prefer inexpensive solutions to health problems rather than disease management? If so, tune into Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, April 22nd, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Wendy Wilson will be joining us in just a few moments, but first let's go ahead and get updated with the markets. Gold, 1187 on the day, down 1560. Silver's down 22 cents at 1586. Still a good buy in silver. Platinum down 20 bucks at 1133. Palladium down 12 at 759. USDX today is trading up slightly, 0.4 at 98.02. Crude oil down 30 cents at 56.31. And folks could already guess what the paper markets are doing today. The Dow is up 88 points, 18,038. The NASDAQ up 21 at 5,035. And the S&P is up 10 at 2107. Nice jump in the yield for the 10-year, 1.97%. Euro still trading at 107. And that's pretty much it. With it being Earth Day, of course, I guess they had to make the markets look nice today, and they did. The Dow prior to trade was lower, but everything reversed, of course, as our markets open. And we'll talk about the gold prices being lower after the break. Let's first visit with Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. Hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
How's everybody?
Is it true that vitamins cause cancer risk?
Oh, that's the newest, scientific jargon coming out of the scientific world. It's a report out of the UK. They had a research report. UK Mirror did a whole story on it stating that vitamins can offer you a 56% increased chance of getting cancer. But this report is just like the 2002 study that was in the Journal of the American Medical Association, and that research also really didn't specify if they were studying whole food or synthetic supplements. My guess is they were studying the synthetic supplements. So the study is
reporting. Well, which supplement are we talking about?
Well, you're talking about your mainstream supplements that are on the market that you see in most stores, including GNC, Walmart, all your, drug stores and such like. These are synthetics, okay? These aren't whole food, organic ingredient type of vitamin supplements. So we're talking about laboratory synthesized mimics of what appears in organic, foods. So the research on the synthetic supplements, they say that vitamins really aren't going to promote health. They won't prevent heart disease or cancer. And on the synthetic side, I agree with that. Now, this study that recently just came out of the UK, the lead researcher was Dr. Tim Byers. He's an oncologist. So he's reporting that, not only does these vitamin supplements don't protect you from heart disease or cancer and can increase your risk, but he's saying you can also have an increased risk of kidney failure and diabetes while taking it. So actually, the word synthetic really in vitamins, it means artificial. I hope people are connecting that together there. Hmm. That's what it means. That's Man-made, yeah.
I'm curious, without having seen this study, I don't know. It sounds like he's making a blanket condemnation of all vitamins. With this, I mean, there have apparently been, if I understand correctly, lots of tests to indicate vitamin D, for example. It's difficult to get past all the benefits, and it will suppress, if I recall correctly, cancer, heart attack, the rest, that sort of thing. I mean, there's almost universal agreement so far as I know. I don't study it, but
right.
All vitamins, or you just say, okay, we've only got two or three vitamins here? What's he talking about?
Well, I know the studies are not really reporting what particular types of vitamins they were studying. They just say supplement. So it's very generic, and we're really not sure what they tested. But the vitamins entered the consumer market.
Were they made in China? Were these vitamins made in China?
Well, I'm going to get to that. Actually, vitamins entered the consumer marketplace in the 1930s, but by the 1940s, they were pretty much in a worldwide distribution. And during the cold and flu months, people usually upped their dose of vitamin C to help their immune system out. But what most consumers don't know is in the 1960s, the method to manufacture a synthetic vitamin C, which is mostly what you get now, was developed in China. So the vitamin C people are buying is a two-step fermentation process of a synthetic vitamin C, and it's manufactured in China. So your vitamin C comes from China.
Well, that's not encouraging when you say, because you imply that all vitamin C right now is coming from China. That's the way I'm understanding you to speak, and I'm operating under the assumption that somebody down in Florida must be squeezing a lot of oranges or something. I thought about this, but China is not renowned for hygiene and healthcare practices. That's what scares me.
I agree. Well, the synthetic versions are scary to me. Just, I call the synthetic supplements wannabe vitamins because they're not, naturally occurring chemicals that you see in nature. They try to mirror those elements in the lab. So a synthetic vitamin does have additives. It has binding agents like coal tar. Often they'll add dyes and sugar and flavorings to it, to make it look more appealing. Now, most manufactured synthetic vitamins are going to be your vitamin E, your beta carotene, your vitamin C, and your folic acid. Those are the most popular vitamins that people buy. But studies have often shown that, our human system has difficulty digesting and absorbing and even utilizing any nutrition that comes from the synthetic supplements. So the body doesn't have the entire structure of the nutrition with that, it's fractionalized. It's an isolated chemical component. So that's why the body struggles with it.
And what you're saying, I've heard this argument before. I'm not a student of this per se, but I'm, take some vitamins and whatever. Your argument is that vitamin C all by itself, even if it were pure, you wouldn't get the same benefit as you would with vitamin C in its natural state where it's mixed with whatever other natural ingredients are a component of the orange, for example.
Right.
Am I understanding?
Yes, you are understanding that correctly because in the UK, Dr. Jennings and another doctor, they did a lot of studies when they were, Dr. Royal Lee is the other lead doctor. They say that natural nutrition is in your foods that you find in your foods or in your herbs has a minimum of 3 times more potency than a synthetic version and is absorbed more readily. According to Dr. Lee, he says the FDA tends to suspend laws for the synthetic imitation of nutrients. And in a perverted effort, he says they prosecute the makers and sellers of real food products. And it's, he says it's because of the commercial promoters of the cheap imitations make a lot of money. And they spend enough money to really stop any truth leaking out and reporting. So I think that more and more people are digging for information and they're finding it. So.
You are at least implying a comparison between synthetic vitamins and GMO foods.
Well,
you're saying we have natural vitamins, natural foods. We've got some synthetic vitamins and GMO foods.
Right.
You're suggesting that there's a kind of similarity.
Right. Well, you know, if you had the option of peeling and eating an organic orange, certified organic orange, that wasn't treated with chemicals, and taking a vitamin C supplement that you may not know who made it and where it came from, which would you prefer?
Oh, I'd rather have the orange.
Absolutely, because if you look at vitamin C, you know, it's a very complex nutrient. And what they do is they isolate one element of vitamin C, ascorbic acid, and, for instance, you know, basically – if you look at what they make that from, what they isolate that synthetic nutrient from, it's from extracted corn starch, corn sugar, or rice starch. And majority of your corn tends to be GMO now.
I understand that.
Yeah.
You know, it keeps on they keep on making the progress, and you look at it, and they claim they're making benefits, and their food is the crops are have at least they have increased. And better able to feed more people and so on. But is that what really motivates these people? They're concerned about, oh, we're going to feed the poor?
No,
or are
no,
they motivated
I think
about, we're going to make billions of dollars in profits?
Oh, well, you know, you don't have to take my word for it. I look to the scripture for the answer. Money answereth all things.
Yeah.
So I believe
what's the
in
answer?
Money.
Yeah, take a multiple choice question.
Yeah.
What's the answer? Money. It's a test. The answer
well,
money
read,
every
yeah,
time you get to be a president.
Well, let me read you this quote by Dr. Robert Hart. He's a biochemist for the Applied Environmental and Nutritional Technologies. He says, your synthetic vitamins are super processed. They are manufactured at high temperatures and contain artificial or toxic ingredients such as dyes, preservatives, coal tars, sugars, starch, and a myriad of additives similar to paint and plastics. End of quote. And I was just astonished.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, if you look at the synthetic supplements, they do have some major elements, coal tar and petroleum, acetylene gas. The chemicals are manipulated to try to duplicate a structure of the isolated nutrient chemicals. And you can't get industry formulas, but after the basic ingredient is selected, then they tend to heat, cook, ferment, and process it to its final synthetic stage. And consumers need to keep in mind the new term, nutraceuticals. You've heard that, Al, right? Nutraceuticals?
Yes.
Okay, that's just a synthetic version of a botanical chemical. It's a synthetic. It's just like everything
right.
else.
I didn't know that nutraceutical, you mean every time I see nutraceutical, I'm
yeah.
seeing synthetic.
Yeah, you may see some organic ingredients in there, but basically it's an isolated synthetic version of it, and people are confused on the label. So nutrients are really degraded by heat, light, oxygen,
yeah.
and pH changes. So now, did you ask me about vitamin D earlier?
I made a comment that, you know, the little research I've seen seems to agree, there seems to be study after study, that vitamin D offers an almost incredible number of benefits. And
well, yeah,
I
be
was
careful
curious,
where you get
is
it.
That one of the...
Well, you just want to be careful the quality of your supplements out there. You know, be scrutinize it all. And vitamin D, though, a majority of it, 97%, 90 to 97% of the vitamin D is irradiated animal fat. It's extracted from there, and they sometimes will use the brains from cows. So cattle brains is in there.
All right, so it may be that it'll prevent cancer, but it might give me mad cow disease. Is that what we're
if the cow was sick, possibly. I don't know if the cow wasn't well, but
yeah, I'm just doing a little Denny Craig. I got mad cow disease coming on here.
You could get your
what
vitamin
do we do to
D?
Protect ourselves? And here's one of the big problems. We all know why do people take the synthetic vitamins? Because they're cheaper.
Yeah, they are. They are very cheap. But the thing is, you know, you can tell, a lot of times people who will use a lot of the synthetic vitamin E, and things like that, they'll notice their nails may look different. They'll have ridges in their nails. That's not normal. So, you will see some signs. Some people have skin lesions and stuff taking the cheap synthetic versions, but if you need some vitamin D, you can get that from rice bran and nutritional yeast, as well as sunshine. If you need some vitamin C, of course, you know where to go to, your citrus fruits, rose hips. Vitamin E you can get from rice and healthy vegetable oils. And a lot of people run for the vitamin K, especially females. It helps them with regulating their menstrual cycle. You can get that from cabbage. And cabbage is great at helping with digestive problems. So if you got IBS or some things like that, cabbage is the way to go. You may not be able, if you get too gassy with eating the cabbage, you can just drink the juice the cabbage was cooked in. And that will help with any digestive comfort. So there's other ways.
So you are, let me be sure about this. When you recommend cabbage, for example,
cabbage.
Are you saying that it's all right to cook it as having the raw cabbage?
No, well, raw cabbage is slaw, coleslaw, basically. But yes, you can cook it, but you don't want to overcook it. You know, you want it to still be a bit firm, but not too soggy. You know, it's sort of like cooking spaghetti. You know, al dente, right? You just don't want it too mushy. You know what I mean?
No, I do. I understand what you're saying.
Know if you were a cooker, Al. I didn't know if you cooked.
Oh, I'm single. I've learned how to cook. I have to feed myself, and I either have to eat things raw or I actually have to cook them. And sometimes some of the things I fix actually turn out to be digestible. You know, I don't say that they taste good and the rest of that sort of thing, but they are digestible. For me, that's probably good enough.
A lot of people will have a jar of vitamin A in their house. There's a lot of people that have that. And if you get a synthetic, know that it's made from acetate and palmate, which are ingredients they use in plastics, and it could be the acid from palm or corn oil. So they use a lot of it's the same kind of ingredients they use to make plastic eyeglass frames. And one other thing is vitamin C. A lot of times it can be made from hydrogenated sugar processed with acetone, which is really nail polish remover.
You're scaring me a little bit here, Wendy.
I'm sorry.
Let me ask
I'm just.
You this. Oh, it's all right. I have a bottle of vitamin C sitting here right now, and I'm beginning to look at it like maybe it's my enemy. One of the things we do is we take the vitamins because we think we are getting a larger dose.
Right.
Now, how much vitamin C do I actually need a day, and is it convenient to take that amount of vitamin C? Just from a couple of oranges, does that provide enough, or do I have to take a pill?
Well, no, I think the oranges will be much better for you because, as Dr. Lee says, you know, and some others, Dr. Robert Hart, he says that the natural sources are going to be absorbed more readily. They're going to have a whole component of nutrition. So you have your vitamin C in there, but then there's some other alkaloids and photochemicals that help your body absorb that vitamin C and use it properly. So you'll absorb three times more potency from the natural food sources than you would from a synthetic, according to the good doctors.
Well, it's good to know. It's a little bit confusing and disconcerting, but if you want to take care of your health, these are the kinds of things you have to consider. People want more information. Where can they get it, Wendy?
Oh, yeah. We have a website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. But if they don't have access to the internet, they can always call and request a free product catalog. We deal with immune-boosting, organ-cleansing herbs. And the number is toll-free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And today's the last day of our Earth Day sale, so they can save 20%. So if they're interested, they call and ask about that.
Okay, Wendy, thanks very much. Interesting information from Wendy Wilson, thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. Melody and I will take a break here with some commercial announcements, and we will be back in just a couple minutes. Please stay tuned.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and the program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, we haven't talked about the 2015 special for a while. We've still have the $650 special with the 90% silver and the quarter-ounce gold eagle with the book. And the 2015 for the year 2015, this is $2,015. We have a Mint State 64 $20 St. gardens. We have one roll, which is 20 silver eagles, plus a 1/10 ounce American gold eagle. So you got a great little package there. You got a semi-numismatic, you got some 1 ounce silver eagles, and you have a 1/10 ounce gold eagle for any type of bartering situation in the future with your silver eagles and your investment coin of the Mint State 64 $20 gold piece. That includes all your shipping costs for $2,015. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Thank you, Al.
Thank me. Was it good? What did I do, Melody? What did I do to deserve? I knew. I knew. That was probably.
You didn't interrupt me. That's what.
I'll try to do better in the future. It's a weak moment.
Let's talk about the traitor arrested and manipulation, which cracks me up. They always have to find a scapegoat and, get the guy, some guy that they can send off and haul away to jail.
Mm-hmm.
If it really is, then he might go in the front door of the jail and out the back door, because, again, they have to find a scapegoat. Certainly.
And they've got to keep his mouth shut.
Got to keep his mouth shut.
There's an article from the New York Times, and the headline is "Traitor Arrested in Manipulation That Contributed to 2010 Flash Crash." That's Traitor, T-R-A-D-E-R, not Traitor, T-R-A-I-T-O-R. 5 years ago, the global financial system was rocked by the flash crash. 15
really?
Minutes of chaos that shook the world's biggest markets and prompted investors, both big and small, to question how such a vital part of the economy could be brought to its knees. On Tuesday, United States prosecutors said that much of the blame for the event could be pinned on a single person, a 36-year-old man who had been manipulating markets from his suburban row house just minutes from Heathrow Airport outside of London, where he was arrested. So, we have once again a single person, a lone gunman, kind of like Lee Harvey Oswald. Just as Oswald was the only one who was responsible for the death, the assassination of John F. Kennedy, we now have a single stock trader, a man named Navinder Singh Saharal, who's responsible for the 2010 flash crash. And he did this from his suburban row house.
In the garage, I think.
The article I have doesn't say anything about doing it in the garage, but the point, this is not some multi-billionaire who's manipulating the markets. This is some guy working in what is at most a middle-class home, at most, and probably something like an apartment, almost. And he has managed, according to this report, he's the guy who's principally responsible for the flash crash that took place over 5 years ago. And it's a cone. We got a lone gunman here, of course, and that's, we always have to have the long lone gunman. Regulators say that their prosecution of the traitor Saharal demonstrated their aggressiveness in rooting out market manipulation.
It took them 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. Aggressiveness in rooting out market manipulation. It took over 5 years to find this guy. During those 5 years, this guy Saharal was presumably living large, presumably made some money off the market manipulation, and the government, who has now stumbled into him, right? They didn't actually find him. They kind of stumbled over him, and they said, we must be very aggressive because we just stumbled over this guy. It goes on, says the news of the arrest, if anything, raised anew concerns about how an individual could manage to exert such influence over the world's financial markets. And that's a very good question. How did one guy in a London row house manage to cause the flash crash? This is just very strange. All right, we can do the evil genius living in his chateau with billions of dollars of equipment. He might be able to cause a flash crash. No, this is some guy who just hacked into the market. Huh?
And or maybe.
And we'll explain this more as we get into it. The case also played into worries that have swirled around the increasingly automated and complex financial markets, where regulators have struggled to keep up with nimble new participants like high-frequency trading firms that use sophisticated networks to make money in milliseconds via rapid-fire trades. You know, that really is a problem. They are concerned. They have the Flash, the plunge protection team that's intended, supposed to protect these kinds of sudden falls. You know, one of the ways they could reduce the frequency of these sudden falls is simply say, look, you can't make a trade more than once every 5 minutes. All right? Now, you could fix a reason, but you can't do trades on milliseconds. You trade now, and you count to 60, and you trade again. And you count to 60. All by itself, that would diminish the intensity of these flash crashes. Just look, can't make more than one trade a minute. How about that? It would slow things down enough where we wouldn't see a sudden, just shocking drop in markets. What else? They're concerned about the sophisticated networks making money in milliseconds.
Like, you know, government.
And it's not a market for people anymore. It's a market for programmers. You and I don't play a role in the market. It's unfortunate, but it's the truth of the matter. What we do, we pay a little part, but not much. We put in the money, but it's the computers that make the decisions, up, down, sideways, where are we going? For the latest case, it took authorities 5 years to track down the rogue actor making enormous trades. And they were led to him only with the help of an outside whistleblower. In other words, somebody said, hey, we got a guy over here who's been manipulating the market. And the regulators say, huh, no kidding. I've always wanted to see one of those. Here, Eric Hunsader, founder of market data company Nanex, has also been critical of the regulatory efforts to crack down on problematic high-frequency trading. He said, I'm dumbfounded that they missed this until now. Okay? Nobody caught this guy for 5 years. And some of the people now, Mr. Hunsader, are shocked, I tell you. But if the regulators only found the defendant based on reports from an outside whistleblower, more likely interpretation of the facts might be that the regulators weren't even looking for anyone responsible for the 2010 flash crash. And when the outside whistleblower showed up, he essentially forced the regulators to actually find and prosecute Mr. Sorrow rather than have dinner with him. More, the fact that Mr. Sorrow was living in a London row house implies that he wasn't rich at the time and was merely implementing a computer hack on his own. Now, it would be interesting to know if Mr. Sorrow devised the technology by himself. Is he some sort of evil genius? Huh? Is that what we're dealing with? Or was he the employee of a stock trading firm that had already devised the technology, and Singh was merely duplicating, copying the firm's market manipulation schemes? Which is it? And while we will merely jail or shoot the lone gunman, what are we going to do to the corporation that might have been manipulating? Anything? In any case, if the computer technology allows, if it exists to allow Mr. Sorrow to cause a flash crash in the American markets while he's sitting in his row house in London, all right, he's not even in New York, the same technology would allow me to cause a flash crash from my domicile within the state of Texas. If Mr. Sorrow can manipulate U.S. markets, so can I. If I can, so can you. If you can, anyone can. This ease of manipulating the markets on just an individual basis casts doubt on the safety of any stock market investments. I mean, if anybody can break in, it's like, you know, it's like publishing your social security number and your bank account number and your password. Let's publish it all on your website or your Facebook page and see if anybody steals your money. It would be surprising, almost astonishing, if no one did. And here's this guy in a house in London He was able to do it. Why not you and me? The answer is the possible loss of public confidence in the stock markets may be the reason why the market regulators failed to find or even look for Mr. Saro for 5 years. If the world realized how easily, by finding Saro, we're going to find this technology. We're going to find out what this guy did. All right? And if the world learns how easily the stock market can be manipulated, there's an app for that, you know, Melody.
There is.
Yeah, you can run it on your cell phone. You can manipulate the markets with an app on your cell phone. But if they find out, I'm joking, but if they find out how easily the markets can be manipulated, investor confidence might collapse and the market might fall. It's at least arguable that people in positions of power would prefer to be that Saro be allowed to get away with his crime rather than allow the public to buy a book called Market Manipulation for Dummies. In other words, they don't want you. There's a good chance that the reason nobody found this guy in 5 years is because no one looked for him for 5 years, because if they found him, they'd have to report what he was doing. Maybe they'd rather not make that available to the public. The article continues, says Mr. Saro is accused of entering and withdrawing thousands of orders worth tens of millions of dollars each. Each order, tens of millions. He made thousands of orders on hundreds of trading days. Hundreds! In an attempt to push down the price of future contracts tied to the value of Standard & Poor's 500 stock index, a practice known as spoofing. Once the price fell, Mr. Saro would buy the contract and reap the profits. Here's my point. This guy has been robbing the markets on hundreds of trading days. And he has moved tens of millions of dollars on, what did it say, thousands of orders. And nobody picked up on it. Is anybody minding the store?
If that's what he really did.
If that's what he really did. On the day of the flash crash, May 6, 2010, prosecutors contend that Mr. Saro placed large orders repeatedly over several hours. You know, we watch these old bank heist movies, and they get some evil genius, and he gets his crew together, and they bust into the bank, and they steal the money, and they get away with it. It's a one-time deal. No, this guy is pushing the button, pushing the button, pushing the button, and nobody notices and nobody cares. He does it repeatedly, hundreds of times, over a course of several hours. Leaving market vulnerable to big moves when another big trade came from another investor in the United States. And it goes on. But, you know, the point of all of this is how much confidence can you have in a market when some guy sitting maybe in his garage in London can cause the Standard & Poor's to drop 600 points in a matter of minutes? Does that inspire your confidence in the markets? How is that possible? How is it possible to call? It's possible because we have plugged our markets. They've gone all digital. In their incredible efficiency, they have also become incredibly vulnerable. They're running trades on the basis of milliseconds. Buy, sell. I mean, it's moving in milliseconds. They're going bouncing back and forth over a fraction of a cent. Whether the stock is going up, going down, they're moving that fast. It makes an opportunity to create some fantastic profits, but it also creates an opportunity for somebody who's really handy with a computer to break in and just say, guess what? I can also make some fantastic profits by manipulating this digital program.
Heck, out, yeah, they come after this guy, but we know for a fact that there's companies that have offices right outside the departments in various Washington places in New York where they release various reports and so forth. So when these people walk out the door to give the numbers, they're there first, and they can actually get a couple seconds advantage.
Oh, not even that, a fraction of a second. They locate
to make billions of dollars.
That's right.
So what's the difference between doing that and what this
Well, the difference
doing.
Is this guy is just some schmuck who's not connected. We can't have the great unwashed manipulating the market.
No, heavens no. That's only good for
the people that are connected. Yeah, they get that chorus melody. But we can't have this guy. He's not a member of the gang. And so in order to, now they're going to try him. And again, they only found him because some whistleblower reported this guy.
And the part that I find interesting about this whole thing is, number one, he's just some poor guy that was trying to make a few bucks and, you know, dealing with the futures of a lot larger market. But they're bringing him back. They're going through all the trouble. He's in British custody,
mm-hmm.
pending extradition.
Yep.
And to bring him back to the U.S., they're bringing this guy back, but yet they allow all these major banks, you know, Citibank and J.P. Morgan and Deutsche Bank to deal and to make fraud and the greatest scam ever, the LIBOR rates. Hardly anyone goes to jail. They pay a few fines, and yet this poor little guy was just, he thought he was, you know, if it's real, if it's true.
Yeah, it probably is. And it's, again, they're telling him he did this hundreds of times. The first time he tried this, he probably thought the police would be kicking in the door within 30 minutes. And they didn't. And then he said, maybe I could try it
again.
They're
going through a lot of trouble.
And before it started, did this hundreds of times. On hundreds of trading days, he ran this scheme.
But they're going through a lot of trouble to get this guy.
Yeah, so far. But there's been another report out since the one here. And they say that the report, I didn't read the report, I just saw the headline. It says that the court has granted him bail as he fights extradition to the United States. So now Mr. Sarl, apparently a name from India, Indian extraction, he's going to get bail and he's going to have an opportunity to disappear. This isn't anything like a done deal. This is just like a done person.
And how convenient that he disappears.
If he does, we'll watch and see.
How convenient. And who was he actually truly doing this for?
Because he was the only one, Melody. Got the lone gunman. My gosh. It's like Jack Ruby thing all over again. The ghost of Jack Ruby has shot Mr. Sarl. All right?
Let's go to break.
And now he's gone, and we'll never know. We'll never know what he really did, Melody.
Let's go to break.
All right, let's go to break. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. And what's next, Melody?
Well, we do a program prior to this one, and we talked about the oddities of the world. And these are all just signs of where we're – I mean, it truly is signs of where we're at. And how much longer can this go on various levels? How much can any of these levels continue? But we were talking about how more people will be concerned – about Bruce Jenner and his interview with, oh, who's doing his interview?
I don't know. Diane Sawyer.
Diane Sawyer on ABC.
Is she going to look suitably sympathetic, or is she going to just burst out laughing?
More people will tune into this and watch this than they would tune into our program.
Mm.
Or, you know, to listen to anything of truth.
I don't know where you're going with this, but if you're suggesting we can boost ratings by me mutilating myself, you can forget it.
That's not
happening. We're not going to do a Bruce Jenner moment on the radio program.
No, Al, you just have to wear a dress.
That's not going to happen either, but even if it did, Melody, you wouldn't be able to see on radio, because how would we
Jenner,
know?
By telling us in a description would be sufficient. Jenner, he's 65, was photographed sporting the long sleeve black and white dress with a slip from the knee to the hem. And it's like, you know, we were talking about this. You were saying that a friend was talking to you about a 6-year-old.
Yeah. Friend. And he said, I talked to him last night, and he said, you won't believe what I saw on TV today. I said, what's that? And he said, they had a story about a 6-year-old child who was being declared to be transgender, all right? Little girl, she wants to be a boy. Well, you know, this is just crazy. It's wrong. It's wicked. Little girls are sometimes tomboys. Doesn't mean they're transgender. All kids have peculiar ideas at one point or another in their lives. They're looking around and trying to find out who they are. They don't know yet. But a child 6 years old is not old enough to know whether or not that she would actually rather be transgender or not. And to have programs and adults who essentially say, well, this is a serious problem and we're going to have to deal with this. What are they going to do with this child? Are they going to give her an operation? Will Obamacare pay to have 6-year-olds have their physical, you know, their sex organs changed so they can, because they're transgender? I don't know. Will Obamacare pay for that? And should it?
I think it does. I think it does.
You know, that's just even more insanity. Good Lord. You can't reward the crazies. You understand that? Some people are crazy. I get that. It's a problem. But it doesn't mean that just because somebody is crazy that I have to take money out of my pocket in form of taxes to support his or her craziness. If you're crazy and you want to act on your craziness, you better be rich. Because we're not going to pay for it. I don't care if you would rather change your sex or not. It's too bad. Here, you got what you got. You might as well learn to enjoy it. Huh? You want to change? Find the money on your own, but don't come to me. I'm not paying for it, not knowingly, not willingly, not voluntarily. So, I don't know. We see children, and people are considering this. How do we even get a child? This is children watching too much TV. You know, how does a child even learn the word transgender?
I didn't even know it until I was in my 30s, probably.
Yeah, I understand that. You know, I listen to music. You know, I was a dummy. There's no question about it. I listened to songs that I enjoyed back in the 60s and rest of it.
I know.
I bet they're cool. I listen to them now, and
I think, oh, my God.
For the first time in my life, I said, holy cow. I thought they were just singing. No, no, the lyrics, they were their,
you know. I know it.
I understand that, but you can't do this with six-year-old kids. This is insane. And it raises a comparison of our nation to something like Sodom and Gomorrah. We sit here, we accept this.
What's that, Al?
Step for a moral foundation, and I'm not sure I know how to do it. We have gone into, you know, you can't just stand up and say, well, you people need to be more moral. We can stand up and we can make that statement. A lot of people, yeah, yeah, we all need to be. Okay, but how? Who's going to reward us? We've got the freak factor all over the internet and TV where you are rewarded for being a freak. We are. That's part of the world.
But you know what, Al?
This guy's going to manipulate himself to become a woman at age 65.
Al,
is he thinking about?
Why are we rewarding them?
I don't know.
Why? Why is the interest just? Oh my gosh! I can't believe it. I have to watch it. Is it truly entertainment? Are Why are people actually tuning in and watching it? Because if they weren't tuning in and watching it, if they weren't making millions of dollars off of it,
yeah, no,
it wouldn't be there.
And there's the problem.
So are all these people that are tuning in rewarding it? Are they all screwed up too?
Well, they're not just screwed up. They're greedy is what it comes down to. And I mean, there's the problem.
But those that are watching it?
We are living, again, said it before, we're living in an economy rather than a nation. In a nation, we have a system of values that reflects people. You know, what's good, what's bad. It's the morals are flowing ultimately from God, and they apply to the people. In the economy, good and bad is replaced by profit and loss. We have a different system of values in the economy. And if some little kid stands up and says, I'm transgender, all of a sudden, the newspapers are there and the TV stations are there and the internet is there to report and attract attention for themselves and try to sell a little more advertising or whatever and make another dollar. Much of what drives this, we have people that are more concerned about making money than they are in doing the moral right, the morally correct thing. And so we see this. You can make money off of it. Well, it flows from people are curious, people are interested. And they don't seem to have a real, a moral foundation where they say, look, this is wrong. I'm not doing this.
And, you know, it's so supported. Here's another article. Transgender teen wins right to win makeup or to wear makeup in South Carolina license photo. Chase Culpepper, 16, was forced to remove her everyday makeup after DMV employee said she could not misrepresent her identity on driver's license. Well, number one, this whole article, it wasn't she was forced. It should be he was forced.
I understand.
It's still a he other than the makeup.
Yep.
And if they want to, and so everything enforces this behavior.
I think that's a good point. You want to be transgender and you want to be treated like a member of the opposite sex, first, you have to have the operation. You don't get to be treated as a member of the opposite sex until you've had the operation and you are truly transgender, not pre-transgender. I'd slow a bunch of this stuff down. You're still going to use, look, I don't care if you're wearing a dress or a burlap bag. I don't care. If you were born a man, you're going to use the men's room, and you are not going to the ladies' room unless or until you have had, at least had the operation. Now, that does slow a lot of this transgender stuff down, and I don't see any advantage to it. I know that, you know, I don't want to belittle particularly. I mean, I don't doubt there's some people. This isn't just something to, it's easy to ridicule. Some people really do have these kinds of problems. But there's a real question here whether or not one man or woman's individual problem, however unfortunate it may be, does this have to become the nation's problem? Does it have to become my problem? Do I have to pay taxes to support some guy or girl who wants to chop off their sex organs or add more where they don't have any? Is that my obligation? Do I have an obligation to do that? I don't think so. I feel sorry for you. If you got the problem, you got a problem. I get that. But I don't believe this society should be here where anybody who's crazy is entitled to get tax dollars out of the rest of us who maybe aren't crazy.
You know, I think, too, Al, you're right. We do have these people that have these problems, and you're right. They're changing. And then those, they're the others who take advantage of their problems.
Oh, yeah.
And they turn it into the show that it is. Instead of perhaps taking care of these people and, you know, having whatever needs. But you're right. We shouldn't be affected. And this 60, and so these young kids get these ideas. And now, you know, they feel like they're helping other people with their same problem. And you get these attorneys involved. You know, this attorney took the kid's case pro bono. And so, I mean, it's just, you know, it's like everybody piles up on the bandwagon and begins to take advantage of this kid who has a problem.
Yeah, I know.
And this kid who has a problem is too young to realize he's being used to some degree.
And if he resolves this problem, he's going to make a life-changing decision here. And it's arguable that decision will not be reversible. All right? If he makes a decision, you're talking about some kid named Chase, if he makes a decision at age 16 to have himself medically altered, what happens when he gets to be 22 or 25 or 40 and he says, holy cow, what did I do? He really becomes an adult, and he realizes he's made a colossal decision, then what? Who's going to be held liable? Who's going to be, well, we're just, you know, it's what you said, what you wanted. Yeah, look, there's a lot of things I wanted when I was a kid, and thank God there were some adults around to say, no, you're not. All right? It takes you a while to get your head screwed on straight in this world. It doesn't happen when you turn, just hit puberty, and now I'm wise. There's a little more involved to that. So, I don't know. It's just insanity. The idea that we're even talking about this is disturbing, sort of thing, where you sit back and think, my God, what has happened to the world where this is a subject of conversation? No one could have imagined this. If you had written a science fiction novel, if you were the finest writer in the world and you wrote a science fiction novel back in the 1960s, for example, where we're going to have two people on radio talking about a third guy or talking about children who are claiming to be transsexual and apparently want operations to make that desire take place, six-year-olds, they'd say, why, are you crazy? You know, to the author of the book, they'd say, why, are you crazy? That could never happen. And here it is. And it's as common, it's like, you know, apple pie. It's got that baseball apple pie and transgender. It's all just as American as, you know, as those three.
And is this worldwide?
I don't know what it is, you know.
Because it's always, you always just hear about here in America. You never hear about...
That's true, but we don't hear things about what's going on in the rest of the world. It's just not part of nature. But you wonder, is Bruce Jenner the only one that's doing this, or are thousands of people doing this, or are we going to have thousands of people doing this, or millions of people doing this? I don't know. You know, children are circumcised when they're born. It may be that the parents decide to have a transgender operation. Why stop, you know? With just circumcision, there's a kind of lunacy here and even wickedness that is dramatic, and it's laughable and funny in some regards, and it's hilarious in some regards, but it's also very serious in others. And you got to think, what do we want in this world? What are we prepared to accept and establish? And if we won't draw lines, we're going to live in a world without limits, and I don't think we're going to enjoy it. I'm Alfred Adusk. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. Money, money, always sunny.